Morning, everybody. So if you like to look ahead, you can look ahead. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 where the Christmas story is. But before we get there, I need to share a couple things with you that are really important. And I'm going to try to help with some stuff. One, when you're with us in person, we're going to give you these things. They are not for you to leave behind. They are for you. It's considered a gift if you want. But on one side, it'll have what's called group questions. And you're like, well, I'm not in a group. If you ever sit down for dinner with people that you call roommates or family, welcome to your group. And so we have given you questions that apply directly to the message that we're about to go through right now. So great resource put together on purpose so that we don't just be like the one-hour Christians that we know that we shouldn't just be that throughout the week we're looking even at the scripture again. But on the other side, let me highlight a couple things, and this is really important because sometimes you see a calendar and you're like, cool, that's not today's date, so I'll wait, right? And you're like, at least that's how I think. Anyways, so if you look at this, the last thing of this year is what's called end of year message. Now you might be brand new. You're like, okay, so that's what happens at the end of the year. Is the last of the year. It's the end of the year. That would be the message at the end of the year. Thanks for telling me that. No, we don't meet in person. Like, we don't gather like this normally in the church buildings. We gather all over the place in our homes and our cars, coffee shops, wherever you go. And we have put together a very special, distinct service that will be for you to watch wherever you're going to be on December 28th. Are you clear? So, like, don't go to one of the church buildings. We just won't let you in. So, like, you want to go to your device, your TV, your tablet, your phone, and tune in. And in fact, you're like, so what's the sermon going to be about that week? Well, we put together a little trailer to give you a little bit, but not too much information, to leave you a little bit hanging on what we're going to talk about, but it will be fun. So take a look at this. So we have a word of the year. This year's word of the year is light. It helps us understand scripture. The Bible's a big book, right? And so sometimes it's hard to understand if you understand the context. And so next year, well, you saw the word of the year. If you missed it, I can't help you. You put it right there, and it's there. But we're going to set up the whole year, so please tune in. Make sure that you do that. Also, if you're just filling that calendar, there's Christmas services. You've heard a whole lot about that. If you're brand new, you need a ticket to go to one of the services. Your kids don't need tickets to go into the kids ministry, but to be in the auditoriums, you do, so that we have a seat for everybody, parking spot for everybody. Go to the internet, get that. You got that? All right. Let's jump in to Luke chapter 2, and let's look at the Christmas story. What we're doing is, by the way, is not simply just, well, it's Christmas time, so we look at the Christmas story. Each week, we've highlighted parts of this story that you and I are supposed to not just, like, hear, but apply. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we go into some of the characters many of us are fond of, and there were shepherds. Yay, shepherds. Living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This is a really cool story. It really happened, by the way. The shepherds out in the field, like doing their jobs, right? And all of a sudden, it's as though heaven has opened up. Angels, like right there, talking to them, singing. It's pretty epic. Terrifying in the same way. Come on. You're out in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, you got angels. You're like, either this is really bad or it's really good. And they're like terrified, right? That's why they're like, chill out. Now, if you don't know this, we share this all the time, but if you don't know this, what just happened in the Christmas story was not supposed to happen, at least by your standard and my standard. You don't go to shepherds and tell them anything. In fact, notoriously, shepherds were considered like the low of the low. If most people back then weren't shepherds, unless they had either screwed up and that was all they could find, or it was a family thing that they felt the pressure, they just had to keep on doing that. Story of David before he's ever king. He's the young kid in the family who got roped into having to be the shepherd for the day. It was not like the highlight of someone's life. In fact, typically, if you were a shepherd, uneducated. If you were a shepherd, typically, you were always like considered suspicious. Anywhere you would ever go, if something had ever went awry, if anyone had ever done anything wrong, stolen anything, said something they shouldn't have, people would have looked around for the shepherd because the shepherd likely was the one who's going to at least get blamed for it. No one listened to shepherds. In fact, that was a part of the thing. Shepherds usually were not well-versed in public speaking or had high social skills because sheep don't talk back. Are we clear on this? And they would spend all of their days and nights protecting the sheep. They would be in small group environments right around them, but they were isolated from the community, and because the community didn't want them, and they didn't really want the community. So when you think about, like, who is God going to tell, like the first group, not like mom and dad. Yeah, they get the news early. But how about who gets to hear about the arrival of a Savior first? It should mess with you that God, on the top of his list, was who everyone else had at the bottom of their list. Just think about it. Like, I think God's doing something. So there's a lesson already in the Christmas story. God doesn't see you through a filter of others' opinion. Because if that were the case, if God saw you, I'm talking about you right now, if God saw you based on what others think about you, then you got to wrestle the whole shepherd conversation. Because no one would have said, go to the shepherds first, go to them, let them in on this. No, typically, you would have thought about a list of people you feel like deserve to hear the news first. And you would have left either the shepherds off the list or at the bottom of the list. And if you want to learn something about God today, what God just did was make sure that he is not moved by, impacted by, limited by what other people think about you. For some of you, that's really, really, really good news. I know some of you have good reputation. Some of us are like, praise Jesus. I mean, right? Well, then let's take it a little bit further, because some of you are like, you got good reputations. God doesn't see you through a filter of your opinion, of you. You don't know what many people actually wrestle with? Is our view of ourselves that's going on in our head right now. Like, we think about what we deserve, what we know, what we don't know, what we've done, what others know about, what others don't know about, the decisions in our past, the decisions in our future. Think about how the shepherds thought about themselves. I mean, think about it. Like, decade after decade, and just living in the gig of a shepherd, you would have just kind of owned what socially people thought about you, and you would have maybe made up things about them, and people have made stuff about you, and you have this opinion of yourself, and God's like, cool, I'm not limited by your opinion of you. It's one of those encouraging things, right, in the Christmas story, going, well, this is good news so far. In fact, let me sum it up here. God wants to include you according to what he does with the shepherds. You. You're like, you still talking about shepherds? No, I'm talking about you. God wants to include you. We've got evidence of this over and over and over and over and over and over again, that he made you on purpose for the intentions of including you in his family. It's a beautiful thing. We just don't always operate that way. Let me give you some Bible examples if some of you argue with me in your head. It's fine. Moses. God included Moses. However, if you know the story of Moses, Apparently, he's got some speech issue. We don't exactly know what it was. It could have been some sort of inability physically to speak in ways that other people could speak. It could have been like he just hates public speaking. But he talked about he did not have the ability, so much so that God gives him help to speak. And God's like, cool, you feel inadequate? By the way, Moses is also, he murdered a guy. He killed a guy out of self-protection to help somebody else. He has to escape Egypt because of what he's done in Egypt. And God's like, cool, you don't speak very well and you should never go to Egypt. I want you to go to Egypt and speak for me. Anyone else feel like he does the same thing to me, right? I'm just showing you what's going on, like in layman's terms. Like Abraham, God's like, I want several generations, like generation after generation to come from you. Abraham's like, we can't have kids. He's like, cool. Sounds like a great situation. And God waits till he's like a bajillion years old, right? It doesn't wait till he's 25. Wait till he's an old man where it seems physically impossible, so much so that Abraham's like, you're taking too long, God. You ever been there? And Abraham decides to usurp the process. And God's like, still, I'm going to include you. Job, you're like, what'd Job do wrong? Nothing. Everything wrong happened to Job. That's what happened. Job, if you just look at the modern day language, Job is bankrupted by the devil. If you want to know what really goes on. Several of his family members taken from him. His money is taken from him. He's bankrupted emotionally, physically, all his stuff. And God's like, cool, I'm going to use you to encourage the rest of mankind generation after generation. I'm going to include you, Job, for being faithful. Rahab, we got kids in the room. We don't have to go too far with this one. But God's like, okay, so you're a prostitute? All right, I'm going to include you into my master plan to help the people get to where they need to go. He includes someone you and I would say, you're not supposed to do that. And God's like, I'm not talking to you. King David, he's a murderer, pretty much an absentee father, and God includes him to establish his nation. Jonah, you catching the drift so far? Jonah, God's like, I want to use you. He's like, nope, and Jonah literally runs. We just did a whole series on it. Like, this is one of the most blatant, like, I'm going to include you whether you want to be included or not. It's fun. Martha, a worrywart is what we call her, right? She was constantly thinking about stuff that she needed to chill out about. And God's like, I'm going to include you, Zacchaeus, a greedy traitor, if you want to know the real language of what Zacchaeus was. And Jesus is like, cool, greedy traitor, let's go eat. We need to talk for a little bit. I want to include you. Paul, persecuted Christians, imprisoned Christians, held the coat to make sure that the first Christian martyr actually happened. It says horrible. Paul's rap sheet is horrible. Paul was such a bad person before becoming a follower of Jesus that even followers of Jesus were like, we're scared of you. Peter, one of the three closest people to Jesus himself, but at the moment Jesus might need him the most, he denies even knowing him, and God's like, I'm gonna include you. In fact, Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on you and you're going to deny knowing who I am, but don't worry, we'll work this out together. I'm going to include you. God wants to include you and use you if you look at the shepherds and the rest of the entire Bible. And if you look at your life and my life, what you and I need to mess with is the fact that you might not think you're smart enough and good enough or whatever all the stuff is, but God loves you. He made you. He shaped you, and he wants to use you. It's really cool. You look at me going, I'm not sure. Luke chapter 2. Back to the life of the shepherds. When they had seen him, do you see what the response is? To like, oh, man, we're uneducated. No one likes us. No one's going to listen to us. Cool. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All of a sudden, we got shepherds who don't ever talk to other people. No one likes them. No one wants them around. They smell bad, all the stuff. Now we got shepherds who have this encounter with Jesus, and now they're just telling everybody they possibly can. I'm about to get into your business. Are you okay with? Well, I don't care if you're okay with this. I'm about to get in your business. Here's how this works. God wants to include you and use you, and the transformation God wants to do requires speaking through you. So let's just stop for a moment. almost every one of us, if I were to say, God wants to transform your life, you're like, sign me up. Like, wait, because you might even bring your own list going, I know you already know God, but I got some things that I do want you to transform. Should you not like know that? I want to tell you what. But most of us are like, God, transform my life. Now, here's what many Christians are missing. A part of the transformation that God wants to do in your life is he's got to be able to speak through you, not just you sit in a seat. Sitting in a seat's fine. But there's got to be a movement forward where it's not just you soaking up more and more and more and more information. There's something that happens in you when you start sharing about Jesus that seems to be transformational. Again, your eyes are giving me that. I don't think so, David. But okay. Let me tell you about the learning by teaching effect. Here's the nerdy language. Students who spend time teaching what they've learned go on to show better understanding and knowledge retention than students who simply spend the same time restudying. Let me help. Years ago, 124 students were gathered together. The way they did this, they have full intentions of finding out how these students actually learned. I don't know if you're like me. I went through all my schooling having zero clue of how to learn. I just was like, tell me what's on the test. I'm going to try to get it on the test, and I hope there's a bunch of essays so I can just write stuff and hope you get it, right? So what they wanted to figure out, how do you and I retain, not just like dump it on a piece of paper? Here's what they learned. They got all these 124 students together. They split them up into four groups. One of the groups they gave, now none of these people knew the subject that they were about to be tested on. They gave them a 10-minute lesson on the subject. Then they took a quarter of that group, took them out of the groups, right? And they said, all right, you've got 5 minutes with no notes to prepare to teach what you just learned. Some of you would have thrown up in every corner of that room, right? You'd be like, what? So all of a sudden you've got one of these groups is now in this room prepping, trying to go, what'd they say? What'd they say? What, trying to remember, because you've got to teach it. What you just learned. And the other groups do the new normal stuff. One of the groups, instead of like actually teaching it, they would write down as though they were going to teach it. Other groups would just like keep staring at the information, right? And keep just repeating it. The group that had to teach in front of a camera for 5 minutes with no notes, information they had just learned, is the group that after a week later, when all 124 were brought back together and they were all tested on the information, guess which group knew the most information? The group that taught the information they had learned. Do you understand that one of the greatest deficits on this globe that you and I call Earth is that Christians refuse to talk about Jesus? We'll go to a sermon. We'll hear something likely you've already heard before. And then you'll come back next week. The danger you and I run into is the same time of wanting God to transform our hearts, we're coming up with excuses to not speak about what Jesus has done in our lives. And we now have scientific proof. If you don't start talking about Jesus, you will miss out on the transformation Jesus intended in your very life. If you want to know, is he on my toes right now? I am. God wants to include you and to use you, and you'll miss your opportunities if you ignore who's around you. Some of us are accidentally ignoring the people around us because of our insecurities, because of what we feel like we don't know or what we think they might say. And the Bible is not like telling you like you got to come up with some masterful argument. You know what the shepherds said? What they saw. In other words, they just told their story. Guess what? Here's something you can't argue about. This is what we saw. That's what you have. You have your story about Jesus that no one can argue with you about or actually tell you you're lying because you're not lying. Luke chapter 2, I don't know if you've ever seen this. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Now just stop for a moment. We're learning about the shepherds. What I'm reading to you, shepherds. Let's talk about the shepherds. We're learning about the shepherds. Here's who the shepherds are. And then Mary treasured some stuff up. Cool. And then we're back to the shepherds. You catch that? The shepherds return glorifying and praising God. I just want you to see that. Okay, we've got shepherds. Hey, Mary's having a moment. Cool. The shepherds return. What we often miss is we don't realize what just happened. The shepherds show up to where Mary and Joseph are. Now, I know you know what the shepherds saw. And I know you know about Mary's encounter with an angel. And I know you know about Joseph's like dream and encountering God that way. I know you know about the Magi who are like on their way. They're just taking their time. But you know that Mary doesn't know what the shepherds have seen. She wasn't with the shepherds out in the field seeing this angelic host of angels like, what in the world? So if you've never imagined this, you need to imagine this. I'm not good at drama, but just catch this. Let's pretend the shepherds show up. They're like, where's this baby, the Savior? Cool. They find where Jesus is. They like kind of barge in. Like, hey, how you doing, lady? Nice to see you. Hey, man, don't stare at me like that. We just want to see your kid. That's what the shepherds are doing. They're not supposed to be there. And they're like, oh, my goodness. And they're talking amongst themselves going, fellas, look, it's just like the angel said. Can you believe what? And they're like, what? And then you know what they would have done? And this is where we would have laughed in the moment if we were in the corner. Ma'am, what's your name? Mary, you will not believe what we saw. And she's like, I bet I will. Right? And we know that the shepherds would have then begin to like information dump. So guys, what you're Mary and Joseph? Hey, Mary and Joseph. So we were out in the field just working. We were doing our own thing. We weren't stealing anything. We were fine. And we were doing our thing. And all of a sudden these angels just showed up and they're like, hey, so there's a Savior. And here's exactly where he's at and what he's going to be dressed in and all that. You guys won't believe this. And then we get this. And Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds, the lowlifes of life, are ministering to the mother of Jesus Christ. You and I need to get over ourselves. Sometimes we think we can't tell someone about Jesus because we don't think they're going to respond in the way that we want them to respond or think they already know the stuff. Do you understand the shepherds who know pretty much zero theologically are ministering to Mary by simply telling their story. God wants to include you and use you, and you will miss opportunities if you overthink them. Welcome to my life and your life. Do you ever overthink things? If you don't nod your head yes, you're a liar. Every one of us, when it comes to something that really matters to you, no, we'll make fun of overthinkers about situations like, I can't believe you overthink that, and then you're overthinking something else later on, okay? Every one of us overthinks something. Here's the problem. The amount of Christians right now who hold the best message of all mankind, that God entered our life, laid down his life for us to save us from our sins. You have that message, and some of us are overthinking sharing it. What are they going to think of me? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't know their rebuttal? What if they don't like me anymore? What? Let's just have David say it. We overthink stuff. I don't even have a verse to show you about the overthinking because it's not in the Bible. We just know they didn't overthink stuff. Because there's no verse that says, so the shepherds had this moment with the angels, and they were like, oh no, they're not going to listen to us. We shouldn't go into town. How creepy is it to show up to someone who just gave birth? Let's not do that, guys. We're going to get slapped, right? All we know is they have the moment. They don't overthink anything. They don't go through all the stereotypes and all the insecurities. I'm like, I don't know. They just go. Some of us are overthinking. If you've never been taught this about your calling in life, it's very simple. But when it comes to God's role and our role, you need to see this. God's going to give you gifts and talents. He's going to give them to you. Now, you can hone this and make them better than when he first gave, because that's what he wants you to do, is use it and better it. And over time, it actually gets a little sharper and you understand those gifts and talents. Our role is to be ready and obedient. If you want to know what God wants you to do with the rest of your life, be ready and obedient. Where, like, when the moment happens, you just listen and do it. Many of us are just overthinking, going, well, I'm not. You are here. If you don't know, I subtly already put into this message, the message you're supposed to share is that God came to this earth to lay down his life for you as the perfect sacrifice. And he did that for you. Go tell some people. God wants to include you and use you, and here's the tricky part, and has opportunities for you. Some of you are going to, you thought you were about to get into waiting mode. Oh, I love that message from Pastor David. God wants to include me and use me, and now I just can't wait months ahead. Once I resolve some things, to do some things, to pay off some stuff, and here's how we're going to do that. I just can't wait. It's going to be years, but right now. God has opportunities for you right now. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. Something about Jesus. And that life was the light of all mankind. You know about Jesus now. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You hold in your brain right now the greatest source of light at your workplace, your school, your family, your friends, anywhere you ever go, you bring into that environment light. It's just, are you going to use it or not? There's a story I read that, I mean, it's got me pretty riled up in a good way. It's about a guy named Charles Plum. I mean, he just looks nasty, doesn't he? I mean, I want to meet him. Charles Plum, a Navy pilot, specifically while we were fighting in Vietnam. And he flew 75 missions. After the 75th one, he was shot down. And the way this works is he was shot down, but he was aware enough to eject. Parachute went up, and he starts to float down to the ground. He survives, but he is captured. Not only is he captured, now, many of us know some of the details about Vietnam. He is imprisoned for 6 years and survives. See, I can, 6 years, some of us, you can think of maybe today, like modern day prisons, not that they're nice at all, but can you imagine being in that war in Vietnam, a prisoner for 6 years? He survives it, he gets out, and the cool thing, while I can talk to you about Charles Plum, is because once he got out of all of that, he began to tour everywhere he could to begin to teach about his experience, to share about his experience, because it's like, I experienced this, and everyone asking questions, probably like you are in your mind, how did you make it 6 years? Like all this, all the leadership stuff and all the details and all the things, you're like, well, one moment, he's traveling around speaking, and he and his wife go have breakfast at a restaurant. They're just sitting there. I don't know what they're eating, probably pancakes, and having a great time, and it's going well. And then all of a sudden, some guy in the restaurant stands up and says, Plum, is that you? Walks over to Plum. He's like, you used to fly in the war. Plum, that's you. And the guy's like, how in the world do you know? Then the guy says, you were shot down, weren't you? And he's like, how do you, what? Like, what? Like, scared, intimidated? Maybe this more like, all right, what? And he goes, yes, I'm Charles Plum. How do you know who I am? He goes, I packed your parachute. And it's like, Charles Plum describes the situation almost as though the air is taken out of him. Going, he's like, you what? He goes, oh yeah, yeah, I know, I packed your parachute. And apparently it worked, right? It's one of those like, right? He says it out loud, he's like, and it works. So has this, I mean, come on, this emotional encounter with a guy that he didn't know, right? They didn't know each other. That's how this worked. It's, you got one guy packing the parachute, and you got another guy wearing the parachute. Neither one of them hopes that it's ever used, right? But you're behaving as though it's gonna be used. It might get used. So Charles Plum talks about this over and over in his talks. Here's what he says in his leadership talk. Oh, who's packing your parachute? It stirred him up so much, he's like, oh, who's packing your parachute? Who has done something that has helped make your day safer or easier or more pleasant? Now, I'm a pastor, you know this. So cool if you are helping, if you know someone making your day easier or pleasant, but I'm not thinking of this story in that context whatsoever. I'm thinking about this spiritually. If you take what the shepherds did, and if you want to know what the shepherds really did, is they got to work packing people's parachutes. They have this moment that they're told about the Savior. They go, make sure, yep, we believe. And then they spent apparently the rest of their lives retelling the story of their encounter with Jesus. If you've listened enough to the Christmas story, you're realizing Mary, Joseph, the Magi, the shepherds, all this encounter of people who do not deserve to be in the presence of Jesus, who are invited into the presence of Jesus, but the response becomes, we've got to tell people. This is why I tell you, you want to know why shepherds are in the nativity set? God wants to include you and use you and has opportunities for you. Every day for the rest of your life. And I do not say that to overgeneralize in any way. I'm telling you, as long as you encounter another human being, you've been given the gift of being a light in that person's life somehow. You may not know how or why, but you know about Jesus and you can bring that light there. So this Christmas season, you're gonna do it? I hope that you will look at an opportunity to pack as many parachutes as possible. And you may never directly meet that person or know what God does in their life, if anything. But we pack parachutes because it matters. So let me give you a little user tip. You want a tip? Do you know that the church you're a part of right now has 14 parachute packing meetings? We call them worship gatherings, Christmas services. An opportunity to encounter people who will come to church for the first time in their entire life. This last week, I met two people who have not been to church in over a decade. One of them had never been in a church like ours. Do you understand the privilege you and I get in this season? Where people are going, Christmas, I wonder what that's all about. And you just happen to know. If it's the Christmas services, or maybe it's work, school, whatever it is, may you be the Christian that recognizes the transformation you want is awaiting for you to share the information you know so that others can be introduced to the same transformation you're craving. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we need to meet with you. So God, we're about to respond to you. God, some of us will sing a song because we need to sing. We need those lyrics. We need help with language, God, to approach you and to say what we're really processing. God, we're gonna bring sacrifices to you. We're gonna give up our resources, which are actually yours. And we're gonna give to you. Some of us, Lord, are just gonna talk to you. But we do want to respond to you. God, forgive us. Forgive me, at least, of the moments that I've just sat on my tail and not let you transform me a little bit more by sharing your good news. God, help us as a church as we go into the Christmas week For those, Lord, who are far from you, don't like you, don't think about you, don't want you, if you aren't even on their radar, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, get on their radar, Lord, and help us to make a seat in a parking spot available for them. God, may you do a mighty eternal work this Christmas season, better than any present that will ever unwrap. In the name of Jesus, for all of eternity, we pray this. Amen.